The protests against the Trump administration have had different names over the last few months. Stop the Billionaire Agenda, No Kings, March for Democracy, Hands Off Democracy, Tesla Takedown, Step Up, Stand Up, Show Up, etc. But the basic message has been the same, a united opposition to pretty much everything the Trump administration is doing. Hunter Dunn is a national press coordinator for 5051, a grassroots political organization founded to protest the policies and actions of the second Trump administration. He spoke with KGVM contributor David Rosenberg about his organization, as well as the anti-Trump movement in general and its potential for the future.
The 5051 movement is a decentralized grassroots movement that's very large. It's spread across the entire country. And we also work with groups like Indivisible or Tesla Takedown or Fight Oligarchy, I believe, is the name of the Bernie Sanders and AOC tour, which is also wonderful and also part of the broader anti-Trump resistance, but also a different thing. But a lot of those groups will work together on certain days, most notably Hands Off, which was a collaboration between the 5051 movement, Indivisible, and like 100 other coalition partners, at least. Probably some that I'm not even aware of, because that's how many partners we had. And I'm just speaking 100 like national. If you count all the local chapters, you're in thousands, if not tens of thousands, because there was 1,300 protests, and each of those was organized by at least one individual group. Because, you know, again, like there's Democratic clubs, there's Indivisible, and all those have like little mini clusters. And then you have 5051, which has tons of local organizing teams. And then you have Move On, Planned Parenthood, Human Rights Campaign, and many more groups that are part of that discussion as well, unions. But there's also a difference between a day of protest and a day of action. A day of protest is a day primarily focused around protesting, making your voice heard against the authoritarian overreach, the executive overreach of the Trump regime, resisting fascism, because we've learned from our history. A day of action is a little bit different. That is about focusing on the needs of your community. So in some cases, that does look like a demonstration or a protest. But in other cases, like where I live in Southern California, we were devastated by wildfires over the past couple of months, mainly in winter with the Eaton Fire, Palisades, Franklin Fire, and more. And given that we have a large unhoused population, and given that the Trump tariffs are making things worse for the average American family, making goods and services less affordable, there's a real need to meet people where they're at. And because of that, we're having a mutual aid drive where people can donate canned food, ready-to-eat food items, so we can give them to local food banks and make sure that those are distributed to help people meet the tough times ahead and to help people who are suffering right now, because community is important. We want to make sure that we're strengthening community bonds, because the entire reason why we're resisting the Trump regime is because we care about our neighbor, we care about our community, we care about our country, and that includes the people who live in it. So we want to make sure that those people are taken care of and that, you know, their needs are met, because without that, what's the point? So we have days of action, which include mutual aid events and also protests, if that's the best way to represent your community. It's up to the local community, right? And then we also have days of protest, which are primarily about protesting.
What would you say the aim of the movement is? Are you pretty much against everything the Trump administration stands for?
Well, yes, but there's a reason for that. We don't oppose it because it's Trump. We oppose it because it's executive overreach. It's against the Constitution, and it makes the lives of the average American worse. You know, we want a government that puts people before profits, not the current government, which is harming the 99% line the pocketbooks of a couple billionaires. I'm not even going to call them the 1%, because they're like 0.00000001% of the population, not 1%. And, you know, Elon Musk isn't even an American, you know, he's pro-apartheid. That's not American at all.
Well, in a way it is, but that's another story. What about the 419 date you chose for the National Day of Action? Was that just because the battles of Lexington and Concord were fought on that day in 1775?
To answer your question, we try to vote on dates democratically. 4-5 and 4-19, sometimes more of a vibes thing. Like 2-5 was just the first date that anyone came up with. The original idea, as it spread on social media, was what if people went to their state capitals on the 5th? And that's where you get 50-51 and 50 states, 50 protests one day. Now it's 50 states, 50 protests, one movement. But since then, we started to shift towards a more democratic model to make sure that all voices are heard, because they're not being heard by the government right now. And that's how we got both 4-5 and 4-19. To answer your question, 4-19 was chosen democratically, right? When it comes to National Days of Action or Days of Protest. Our movement chooses those dates democratically. We try to have a vote of the local organizing teams or just of the people in general, depending on the day. But part of the reason why 419 was so popular, part of the reason why it was chosen, was because it's the anniversary of Lexington and Concord.
Are you pleased with the way the movement has gone since February?
Let me put it this way. I helped organize a protest at City Hall on both in LA in February 5th and in April 5th, right? And on February 5th, we had a couple hundred people, maybe 300 people. On April 5th, MSNBC reported that we had 100,000 people there. I think that says something about how successful this movement has been at capturing the feelings and the values and the beliefs of the American people.
What do you see happening in the future with the anti-Trump movement? I know you mentioned the May 1st date.
Well, yes. I think that supporting labor during May Day is going to be very important. And past that, we have June coming up, which is Pride Month, and LGBTQ plus people are under special attack right now. There's D-Day, there's Juneteenth, and past that, there's of course July 4th, the birth of our country, surrounded around the ideas of resistance against a mad tyrant. Obviously, we're talking about a different kind of resistance. That was a violent revolution, and we're talking about a nonviolent civil disobedience, and those aren't the same thing, but it's the same fundamental principle, right? Defending people's life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness when the government won't do that. So, absolutely, I think we're in for a number of days of protest and days of action ahead. More people are, and even now, we're watching as more people get involved, more people start to realize what's happening in this country, and they want to take a stand.
Someone I know went to one of the anti-Trump demonstrations recently, and she was kind of appalled that there was no mention of Gaza. What's your take on that?
So 1551 is four things, right? I think that there's four fundamental values. We're pro-democracy, we're pro the Constitution, we're against executive overreach, and we're nonviolent, right? So insofar as a movement or cause aligns with those four things, we're in favor of it. So to my understanding, and again, it's a decentralized grassroots movement, right? So people are going to disagree. We have people who have all sorts of stances on all sorts of issues, but to be part of our movement, you have to be pro-democracy, and that means being pro the rights of self-determination of people who are suffering. That includes Palestinians and Gaza, that includes Ukrainians, because of Russia's unlawful and illegal invasion. That includes people who are suffering and many other groups around the world who are suffering from oppression, apartheid, or genocide, right? To be pro-democracy means to be anti-genocide. So I would say that we stand in solidarity with all groups of oppressed peoples around the world, Palestine and Ukraine included.
Anything you want to add to what you've said?
I do want to focus on the nonviolent aspect, of course. People have a right to self-defense, and in the case of, the Ukraine war, obviously Ukraine is basically in what would be a liberatory war, but there is a difference between supporting people's rights to self-determine and democracy and supporting violent actions taken that are nominally for that. We are a purely nonviolent movement, so we full stop denounce all forms of violence, all forms of terrorism, all forms of hate, right? So, you have to be careful because some people use being pro-Palestinian to be anti-Semitic, and some people use being pro-Israel to be anti-Muslim. And so you have to be careful because the rights of all people deserve to be respected, so that affects how we talk about verbiage. So if you go on to our social media page, you can find a statement about standing in solidarity with these groups of people that are facing genocide, they're facing apartheid, they're facing oppression. And we call out Palestine and Ukraine specifically amongst other groups. I believe Myanmar and Sudan are two of the other ones.
That's Hunter Dunn of 5051 speaking with KGVM contributor David Rosenberg. This interview was released on April 28th, 2025.